Welcome in to the Power Hour. You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM. PJ Glasser, Jared Smith, filling in for Nick and Femi here on a Friday, a football Friday. We got week one of college football in full swing. We get the number one versus number three team in the country tomorrow. We get number four versus number nine tomorrow. We get number six versus number 10 on Sunday. It's going to be an epic week of college football. We will talk college football here in the final hour. We'll get you ready for all of the week one games. We got two really good games tonight. We'll give you some thoughts on those as well. The great Brad Evans from BetMGM tonight will join us in 40 minutes, get some of his bets to head you off into the weekend. All right, Jared, let's dive in to the big one tomorrow. Texas, Ohio State. As it stands right now, BetMGM, Texas is a small favorite. Minus 115 on the money line. Ohio State, minus 105. The total is 47.5. Who do you like, Texas, Ohio State?
Well, I think the number on Texas has moved to the point where it's not a great bet. But for the sake of predicting who will win, I think Texas wins the game. I think the good bet to make is if you can find it, and I was able to find it at 7-1 as recently as last night, Arch Manning to win Heisman. Because again, if we think Texas is going to win the game directionally, that's where the market is moving. Well, that number is going to move considerably if that prediction turns out to be correct and the market turns out to be correct and Texas is the winner in this game. You just look at what Texas has in the trenches, and I think that's where they have an edge. Now, to be fair to Ohio State, they're all really talented players, especially on the defensive line, which lost a lot. But they're all really talented players. They just don't have a lot of experience. And I do think Texas's run game, which considerably has been the strength of their team over the last few years, they like to play that wide zone scheme. And I think both edge rushers for Ohio State are both new. I really like Bo Atkinson, who's the transfer that the Buckeyes got from UNC. That's the new edge setter. And he is going to be huge in this game because Texas, with Baxter and Weiser, they're going to try to, you know, set that edge and run the ball outside tackle. And you're going to need Atkinson. And then on the other side, Kenyatta Jackson, Caden Curry. Those are the other five-star, uber-talented defensive linemen that just haven't played a lot of ball for Ohio State because they were so talented last year with Teamolo and Tyleek Williams and Ty Hamilton. All those guys are in the NFL. But I do think that's the game within the game for Texas. You got a new quarterback. I know he's got some experience. You want to be able to run the ball. Arch's legs are going to be a factor as well. The Texas offensive line lost Banks. They've got a couple of other players that got, you know, kicked around. Cameron Williams was a six-round pick by the Eagles. He's going to the NFL. He was the other tackle. But I think Kyle Flood, former Rutgers coach, done a pretty good job with this Texas offensive line. And I don't know how good Ohio State is. We have heard not only their defensive line coach, Larry Johnson, but also their head coach, Ryan Day, say that the defensive line depth might be an issue for us. So that's the edge, I think, for Texas. On the other side, with Ohio State's offensive line against that Texas front, yeah, like I think Texas has the edge there too. Like Ohio State's replacing both tackles. I know, again, they're very talented with depth at that position, but not a lot of experience, where Texas does have a lot of experience. Power four transfers, freshman All-American Colin Simmons, linebacker stud in Hill. I mean, you've got dudes for days on this Texas roster. So I think they own the trenches. I think Arch has enough experience to go into Columbus, handle the crowd, and get a win. But it's a pick 'em for a reason, PJ.
Yes, it is. And all summer, I thought I'd be on Texas in this game. You know, it was +3, +2.5. I like Texas for everything you said. And, you know, the case that everybody's making for Texas in the game is all the new that Ohio State has, right? Replacing both coordinators, true freshman quarterback, tons of studs lost on both sides of the ball. It's a revenge game for Texas. But then I start thinking about Texas last year and in some of those big games, how they played, right? Both games against Georgia, they lost. The playoff game against Arizona State, they needed a 4th-and-13 in overtime to win that game. Then they lose to Ohio State in the semis. That's kind of the way it's gone for Texas in the Sark era. They lose to Washington in the playoff the year before that. A lot of those big games, Texas has struggled to come out on top. And, you know, the reason I like them in this game was I think about how Sark has had his teams prepared early on in the season, right? They go up against Michigan last year early on. They whoop them.
Bama the year before in Tuscaloosa. They beat them by 2 scores. Sark against Matt Patricia is worrisome. I mean, Matt Patricia is the defensive coordinator from Jim Knowles. That is a big downgrade. But Jared, teams like Ohio State, they're not usually underdogs, and they're not usually like afterthoughts in the mind of a lot of people, and usually aren't getting discredited. And it just feels like the whole world is on Texas in this game. And you saw what a Ryan Day Ohio State team looked like when they were counted out by Tennessee against Tennessee last year. Against Oregon in the Rose Bowl. You know, a couple years ago against Penn State when that game was in Columbus, people thought that was the year Penn State and James Franklin were finally going to get the Buckeyes. Ohio State took care of business. So it just feels like when everybody tries to count out this Ohio State team, that's when they tend to play their best. Now that the line is what it is and we're getting like a pick 'em, I'm going to take Ohio State to win the game. So it won't be one of my bigger bets, but, you know, I mean, it's a big game. Got to have some action. And, Jared, I like having bets on games, even when I necessarily don't feel strongly about it, because I think a lot of people will feel the same way. You really get a feel for teams when you bet on a game because you really lock in. You look at it from the perspective of you're rooting for one team. What are the backbreaking plays? What are the plays that kind of shift the game? So I'll already obviously be watching this game and focus, but I don't think I'll necessarily be as focused that I would if I had a bet on it. So I want to root for Ohio State. I want to bet on Ohio State because I want to see just how good Arch is. I want to see just how good Texas is. So I'll back Ohio State -105 against Texas. Syracuse and Tennessee, not a lot of people have been talking about that game. Tennessee favored by 14 with a total of 51.5. The big storyline for Tennessee in the offseason was no Nico. Goes off to UCLA. He's going to be their starting quarterback. So what's it going to look like for Josh Heupel and that team? Syracuse, awesome year last year, Jared. But man, do they lose a lot. And their schedule this season, go look at Syracuse's road schedule this season. Oh my God. At Miami, at Notre Dame, at SMU. This is essentially a road game playing Tennessee and Atlanta. So did you have a bet in Syracuse, Tennessee?
Sampson leaving is huge for Tennessee, more important than Nico. I actually think Aguilar might be an upgrade. How about that? Here's your hot take of the year.
I don't think it's a hot take.
Yeah, not a hot take. Nico was awful last year. I went back and watched a little bit of his game. And I think just the progressions and what he was not able to do, reading the whole field, when I look at a quarterback, your legs and your eyes need to be tied together. And if one is facing one way and the other is facing the other way, it is impossible for you to throw accurately. It's just impossible. Like your physics, unless you're Fantastic Four Gumby, if your eyes are pointed over here and your legs are pointed over here, the ball is not going to be placed on target. So many times when I've watched Nico play, and go watch the Ohio State game because he did it a bunch. He did it in the Georgia game too. He'd come off of his first read and his eyes would look at the rush while his feet were pointed at the line of scrimmage. And it's like, what are you doing, bud? Like the other side of the field needs to be scanned here. So I think Aguilar, as gritty and gutty as he is going to hang in the pocket and scan the field and maybe, throw some terrible interceptions deep down the field, but at least they're going to try to get some of those deep shots because that's the Josh Heupel offense. Run, 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 run deep. Run, run, run deep. Like, it's tempo, it's run, and then it's take deep shots. Nico was only able to accomplish half of that last year. I think Aguilar, again, the arm talent might not be on Nico's level. The physical tools might not be there, but I think the brain might be a little bit quicker of a processor, and he might be able to scan the field and make some deep plays for that Tennessee offense. But again, losing Dylan Sampson is a huge loss. I think they're not going to overcome that in the run game. You mentioned Syracuse, really tough schedule this year. This is a tough spot for them in the early season with all of their turnover. I don't want to bet this game. I did take Syracuse under their win total this year. I think I got 5.5, but that's probably the only thing for me here.
Yeah, I'm not going to bet the game. I think what I'd be looking to do is to bet Tennessee live and hoping to get a better number. Because the thing with Tennessee games, Jared, is it might look ugly for a half, 2.5 quarters. This could be like a 10-3, 13-7 game. And then you go get something to eat, you go to the bathroom, and you look up, and it's 28-7. You're like, how did that? Because the Heupel offense just keeps coming at you. And when they're clicking and they get in a rhythm, they're really tough to stop. And Aguilar, like, I agree with a lot of what you're saying. I think he might be an upgrade for Nico. I mean, Nico, the talent, the ability, like, just jumps off, but the execution just was not there. He missed so many deep throws, so many easy throws last year. And Aguilar is just solid, and he's a good runner. You said it was Sampson. He was a really good running back. And with Tennessee and with a lot of those up-tempo offenses so much, we just think they throw the ball every play and just want to throw it deep every play. But with Tennessee, they really do want to run the ball. So
yeah.
I think it might take them a little bit to find their rhythm offensively. I think maybe the first half under in this game could be a decent look because, man, Syracuse is replacing a whole bunch offensively. And they have Angeli coming in at quarterback that they're excited about from Notre Dame. So maybe he's able to make some plays. I think Cuse could keep this early for a little bit, but I've just bet enough Tennessee games to know that they can strike quickly. And when they do, it could be an avalanche of points. So maybe we can get like a 6.5, a 9.5 with Tennessee at some point in this game, and I'll look to jump in. But at 14, I think that's a fair price. I'm staying away from Tennessee and Syracuse. Bama, 14-point favorites on the road against Florida State with a total of 49.5. Jared Smith, you like Bama to win the national title. Do you like a minus 14 at FSU?
You have to. I mean, good teams win, great teams cover, right? Bama's a great team this year. Our producer, Tyler Morales, said it best. Like, the Florida State offensive line, I mean, it's like the JV versus the varsity in this game. I think this Bama defense is going to be really cooking. And I'm not very high on Florida State. I think there's reason to be slightly optimistic, but the bar was set so low last year that even a slight improvement is still going to be a pretty bad season. Especially if you can get 13.5, which I'm seeing some contest lines giving you 13.5 with Bama. That's going to be in my contest pool this week for Alabama. But yeah, on the road, I mean, you know, crazy things can happen for sure, but I would not be taking points in this spot. This is Bama or pass.
Yeah, I like Bama in the first half, minus 7. Yeah. I'm glad that I got a flat number there. Jared, last year, Bama, when they had multiple weeks to prepare for games, they were so impressive. Mm-hmm. The game plans.
Good nugget.
I mean, you think about the game against Georgia when that was off a bye. You think about the game against LSU when that was off a bye. When you gave DeBoer and his coaching staff and the defense and Kane Womack multiple weeks to prepare for a team, their game plans were terrific. That Georgia game in the first half was a masterpiece. They played Georgia in week 5, and the prior 3 games, Jared, they didn't show anything on tape to what they showed for Georgia. And they always have a wrinkle or two up their sleeve when they have extra weeks to prepare. You have a new quarterback now in Ty Simpson. Ryan Grubb is back with DeBoer on the offensive side. So I was so impressed with Bama when they had multiple weeks last year and the respect that I have for them. They got off to some big leads. So I think minus 7 with the Tide in the first half is the way to go. Because they know they don't want Florida State hanging around in this game. That's where the Seminoles want to play. They want to keep it ugly. They want to keep it close. Malzahn wants to run some of his trick plays, and he wants to keep them off balance with his run game and all the certain things that he does. But I like Bama minus 7 in the first half. LSU and Clemson, the game that we're both most excited for on Saturday. That's going to be a fun one. Clemson favored by 4, total 57.5. Any plays for you in that game?
I think I got to get there on LSU plus 4.5. We had Tom Casale on earlier, and he made a really compelling case why this number has gotten a little bit too heavy. I think it's fair to say that LSU's got the edge at quarterback. I think Clemson has the edge in the trenches, but don't sell the LSU defensive line short. I mean, this is a team, they brought in Peyton from Florida State. They brought in Pyburn from Florida. They brought in Jamari Butler from Nebraska, who was an All-Big Ten honorable mention a couple years ago. And you've got two really good returners at tackle, Bro and McKinley. Guillory's back after tearing his Achilles last year. And they also added a four-star American Conference transfer, Bernard Gooden from USF. So overall, very experienced, very talented defensive line. And the defense was a problem for LSU last year. Now, the secondary, I'm concerned about. This unit had a ton of coverage breakdowns last year. Brian Kelly, he tore it all down, ripped it up, basically rebuilt it from the studs. Ashton Stamps is the one returning starter at cornerback. The other guys are all kind of high conference transfers. But I think plus 4.5 with LSU would be the way I play this.
We'll talk some more about that game, dive into some others as we continue to roll on here through the Power Hour. You Better You Bet. PJ Glasser, Jared Smith.